In today's news headlines, President-elect Joe Biden has picked Ron Klain to be his chief of staff as he moves to prepare for transition to the White House. The Washington Post described Mr. Klain as, quote, a longtime Washington operative who, quote, has been a senior advisor to Democratic presidents, vice presidents, candidates, and senators. In a statement, Biden indicated that Klain's, quote, deep, varied experience and capacity to work with people all across the political spectrum is precisely what I need in a White House chief of staff as we confront this moment of crisis and bring our country together again. Biden is still not receiving any cooperation from outgoing President Donald Trump in his transition. But there are reports that the former vice president's many decades of contacts in Washington with extensive experience are being tapped to help him work around Trump's obstructiveness. Although the majority of Republican lawmakers remain staunchly behind Trump's attempt to overturn the election result and the nation's democratic process, on Thursday, GOP-affiliated individuals began speaking up, among them former Michigan Republican Representative Mike Rogers, who was chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, said, quote, Joe Biden should receive the president's daily brief starting today. He needs to know what the latest threats are and begin to plan accordingly. This isn't about politics, this is about national security. Notably, Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, who is also a Republican, said that if Trump's White House does not allow Biden's team access to daily briefings by Friday, he intends to intervene. Lankford sits on the Senate Oversight Committee. Some Republicans are also admitting publicly that Trump will be unable to challenge the election results, including Arizona's Attorney General Mark Brnovich, who said on Fox Business News, quote, if indeed there was some great conspiracy, it apparently didn't work. The county election official, who's a Democrat, lost, and other Republicans won. Does the fact that Biden won the White House, but Democrats lost seats in the House and didn't gain enough in the Senate, ought to signal that there is no widespread voter fraud on behalf of Democrats that Trump and his allies continue to claim? Ohio's Republican Governor Mike DeWine said, Joe Biden is the president-elect. And top Republican operative Karl Rove wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, throwing cold water on the Trump campaign's demand to recount votes in order to change the election result. Trump's claims about voter fraud continue to fall flat. In Michigan, he has asserted that ballots were cast on behalf of dead voters. But state officials have been able to prove that this is just a case of people having common names, not a vast conspiracy to steal the election for Biden. In Nevada, Republicans dropped an appeal of a state Supreme Court ruling on the counting of remaining ballots. Meanwhile, Trump himself continues to share conspiracy videos of false claims of voter fraud on his Twitter feed. Most egregiously, the case of a postal worker in Pennsylvania who admitted to vote tampering has recanted his story and now explained that the pro-Trump group, headed by conservative operative James O'Keefe, wrote the worker's affidavit for him. The man has recanted the claim that Project Veritas made for him. O'Keefe has gotten into legal trouble in the past over his attempt to undermine and entrap Planned Parenthood officials and is a convicted criminal. There are reports that Trump has no real plans to overturn the 2020 election and has already begun talk of a presidential run in 2024. The last two Senate races are taking place in Georgia on January 5th and could determine control of the U.S. Senate. The GOP, which already has 50 seats, need only win one more in order to have majority control. And to that end, Senator Lindsey Graham has now donated $1 million to help Republicans Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue win. Meanwhile, Georgia's former Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams has helped raise millions of dollars for the two Democrats, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. In other news, the coronavirus continues to make its march across the United States, breaking records on infections as a record-shattering 142,000 new cases were documented in 24 hours on Wednesday. The number of COVID-19-related hospitalizations also broke records. Dr. Anthony Fauci has urged Americans to focus on basic protection measures to combat this new and terrifying surge in the pandemic, with diligent mask use, social distancing, and avoiding large gatherings. He said this in an interview on Good Morning America.
When people talk about the measures that I'm suggesting we double down on, they equivocate that and say that, well, that makes that not a lockdown. It isn't necessarily lockdown. You could still get businesses going. You could still have economic forward thinking while you're doing that. You don't necessarily have to shut everything down. hopefully we won't have to do that. If we can do the public health measures, we wouldn't have to do that. The best opposite strategy to locking down is to intensify the public health measures short of locking down. So if you can do that well, you don't have to take that step that people are trying to avoid, which has so many implications, both psychologically and economically. Mm. We'd like not to do that.
That's Dr. Anthony Fauci in an interview on Thursday explaining that in order to avoid new shelter-in-place orders, Americans need to double down on basic protective measures. Fauci also struck a positive note, saying help is really on the way. If you think of it metaphorically, the cavalry is coming here. Vaccines are going to have a major positive impact. Still, the situation remains precarious as New York City considers shutting down schools once more. The nation's largest school system has managed to avoid major outbreaks, but considering that infection rates are going up everywhere else, the New York Public School District may rethink allowing in-person instruction. On Thursday, the Labor Department's latest figures show that 709,000 Americans filed for jobless benefits last week. That number is still far too high, but it is the lowest since the pandemic first threw a wrench into the economy. Among the announced changes that President-elect Joe Biden plans to make in his first term is a reopening of the nation to refugees. Trump had relentlessly slashed opportunities for refugees seeking asylum in the U.S. over the past 4 years, to the point where there is only a small trickle of individuals being allowed in. Becca Heller, executive director of the International Refugee Assistance Project, told NPR that Biden plans to raise the number of admissions from 15,000 to 125,000. She says the point is not to hit 125,000. The point is to signal both to the rest of the world and also to the domestic population in our own government that this is a priority again. Refugees go through a years-long and extremely rigorous vetting process. Hurricane Eta is making another landfall in Florida, and according to the Washington Post, producing dangerous storm surge, heavy rain, and gusty winds in the region, and leaving tens of thousands without power. The slow-moving storm is typical of those seen during a warming climate, and the storm had hit the central section of the Florida Keys on Sunday, before heading to Central America, where it wrought serious damage. Hurricane Eta is the 28th named storm and 12th hurricane this season alone. Finally, Manuel Merino, the head of Peru's National Congress, was sworn in as the new president of that nation after President Martín Vizcarra was ousted in what is looking like a coup. Mass protests have erupted in the capital, Lima. Vizcarra was in the midst of an anti-corruption probe against the very lawmakers that ousted him and that are now accusing him of corrupt practices. And that does it for our news headlines.